I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oh, baby, baby.
I said it, I'm in love with the sweet, sweet nuggets. Man, I treat it like a drug, get high on these nuggets. I've been grinding all night trying to find these nuggets. And no, these ain't Mike Bass 6 nuggets, my danky nuggets. Sweet, stanky nuggets. Roy's danky nuggets. Take a hit on these nuggets.
Ha! Rangers open a 4-game set against the Detroit Tigers today in Detroit. Matthew Boyd on the hill for the Tigers. Giovanni Gallardo going for the Rangers. But before we get into a little bit of a preview of that, as well as talking about the player that may be on the market here at the trade deadline that everybody will be interested in, we'll first talk about last night's game. And that, to me, starts with Mike Minor going 6 innings, allowing 3 earned runs, 4 total runs. Unfortunately, one of those was unearned as Gjerkson Profar committed an error there in the 4th inning that allowed the Astros back in the game, turned a 4-0 lead into a 4-4 tie, which they eventually lost in 10 innings. But I mentioned Mike Minor. Another quality start for Mike. I believe he's had 4 quality starts in his last 5 outings now. And he's now at 77 and a third innings. He's at 91 innings this season. 77 and a third is what he pitched a season ago. I want to ask you guys where you think the number will be that the Rangers ultimately settle for him. Because as we remember, he's a guy who's pitched over 200 innings before in his career. But it's been several years since that happened. Took 2 years off because of Tommy John surgery when he finally came back. Last year was his first year back, 77 and a third. We're probably going to be almost 30 innings past that by the time we get to the All-Star break. How far do you think Mike Minor goes this season, considering the Rangers signed him to a 3-year deal and knowing that they would like to get as much as they can out of the back end years of that, you would think, when they're back to competing?
You know, that's a good question.
Well, let me ask you this first. Are both y'all... Don't, if you're not. Are you looking at his numbers?
No.
Okay, good. What do you think his ERA is?
I think it's right over 4 without looking at it, but he's been really, really good over the last month and a half.
Well, has he been really good, or has he been 2018 consideration quality start good?
Okay,
like
fair.
He's like really good as a guy with like a 3 flat ERA. And then great is, to me, it's like, I still... You know, like that is really good. Like, I can't put a 4-4?
It's a 4.63.
I can't put that as really good.
So when you first brought it, you know, when I hear Mike Minor, in my mind, the light is blinking. This has been a success. This has been surprising. This has been good.
Yeah.
And maybe it still has been.
Yeah, has been.
I would have thought in my mind that the number was a little bit lower.
Yeah, it has been. Still, considering.
He had a bad May. He had a 6.96 in May.
He's a 4-5 starter. And that is not bad. That's pretty good. So I don't know. I don't think what Mike Minor's doing is anything to be ashamed of. And I wouldn't necessarily give him up either. In terms of the innings, you know, he was a starter before. Now, that was all in a past baseball life. It really was when you look at it. So I would, he's gone over 175 innings before in his career in one season. I think he could do it again.
Well, I mentioned it because in the last month, he's been better than good. In his 4 starts in June, he had a 2.08 earned run average, struck out 18 batters in 26 innings, had a whip of .769, which is really, really impressive for a guy, in my opinion, who's still trying to get his legs underneath him a little bit as a starter. Again, he didn't start at all last season, pitched primarily out of the bullpen for the Royals. And now he's back to starting for the Rangers. I think there are some really encouraging signs from that batting average against. It's only at 252 on the season. Like, it's not like guys are hitting him extremely hard. Home runs have been a bit of an issue. He's given up 12 of them this year. But I think over the last month and a half, like I said, Mike Minor's really turned in some good performances. And the Rangers obviously need it because he and Cole Hamels, the only starters from day one of this thing, that have not spent any time on the DL. Obviously, the Rangers don't want to see him on the DL at all, and we'd like to believe they'll have enough innings to give him rest down the stretch. I think he's probably going to be pushing like 170 by the time this thing's done. That's what I'm thinking it's about going to be. So,
well, you know, they're going to have to, because if you look at their – there was a time early on this season where their bullpen was on pace to be – to break, set all kinds of records of innings pitched. Like – after 2-3 weeks, it was just like, whoa, what is going on here? How are we going to make it through July and August? And that's stabilized a little bit. And they're going to need guys like Minor to continue to throw six innings at start. And the previous start, I mean, he's been solid. Like you said, Roy, he's been solid in the month of June.
Hey!
Oh, yeah.
I want to bring this topic to your attention because it has been written about and was actually written about yesterday in USA Today. The idea that not only Manny Machado be available at the trade deadline, the possibility that Bryce Harper could be available at the trade deadline. Mm. Something that's being floated out there is the Nationals have gone 6-17 over their last 23 games. They haven't had a stretch that bad in nearly 5 years. And they are currently 7 games behind the Atlanta Braves in the NL East. Now, you would say to yourself, 7 games, the Nationals themselves in that division have seen that type of deficit erased in 17 games. It happened when the Phillies did it to the Mets way back when, about a decade ago or so now. So you could say, hey, why wouldn't they feel like they're still in it? But you look at their team. Daniel Murphy is going to become a free agent at the end of this year. Bryce Harper, certainly going to become a free agent at the end of this year. They're losing a couple pitchers. Gio Gonzalez, who's been fantastic for them, is going to be a free agent this year. And you never know what a bullpen's going to be from year to year. Ryan Zimmerman, aging, hasn't really gotten off the DL much this season. Helped them out a ton last year, but again, hasn't been able to be counted on. Trey Turner, young stud, really love what he's got to bring to the table.
Oh, he's hurt.
But it seems like he's hurt a lot as well. If you're the Nationals, 7 games back, with arguably the best trade chip that any team could have, I mean, you would think this would be right up there with Machado in terms of what you could get in return. And you also probably think, at least I do, that Bryce is gone at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Maybe more so than Machado in Baltimore.
Oh, No. Baltimore's not going to $300 million for Manny.
No. Like, I'm saying
Washington will pay. They would pay. They have them. Like, it's a very real possibility he stays. But Machado, there's 100% chance he's gone. They don't have the money. They won't. Angelos, Sean knows Angelos as well as anybody.
Baseball devil, they refer to him as in Baltimore.
Yeah, he will not, because they paid Trumbo and they paid Davis.
But look, I agree. It seems like much more of a lot. Machado's gone, but I haven't heard a ton of people talking about Bryce re-signing. Now, this is an interesting topic. Do you decide to punt 42-43?
And by the way, you could still, if you think you're into signing him in the offseason, you're still going to get a shot, and you don't have any benefit as a team, you know, holding on to him to give him a deal at the end of the season when everybody else can offer him as well.
Let's just say they only feel like 30% good about re-signing him, okay? So these are the factors in play. You're 42-43. Trade deadline, you're 2-8 in your last 10. People are freaking out. They've lost 5 in a row. What do you do? Now, the deadline is in a month. Let's just say you're 500. I'm giving you these factors. You're 500 at the end of July. Right now in the East, they're 7 games back. Philly is 47-37. The Braves are 49-36. No team, maybe in sports, has more pressure on them to win a championship than the Washington Nationals. Like, no team right now, with how close that they've gotten, maybe the Dodgers could be up there as well, and you only feel you got a 30% chance to re-sign.
I keep him 1,000%.
Woo! Okay.
You
let him walk for nothing.
That's fine. I have Strasburg, Scherzer, and Gio. in the postseason. If they're the reason they didn't go far is, you know, there were some injuries there last year.
Now Strasburg right now just came off of a 60 pitch bullpen session, but hasn't gotten back into his best health yet.
Right, but I'm the only team that can keep up with Houston from a pitching standpoint. That's going to wind up being in the postseason. I mean, is there anybody else? Maybe Cleveland? That's it. Nobody else got the pitchers that Washington does. All I've got to do is get a wild card spot. Does anybody really trust that Atlanta is going to continue to win that division and just run away with it? I mean, eventually, they may come back down earth a little bit. Mm-hmm. They might. So,
is there a certain amount of games you'd have to be under 500 to change your mind in a month?
If I'm 10 games under 500, I change my mind.
Okay.
But
if I'm 10 games out of first, to me, it's not about the 500. Okay. It's about where you're at in the division.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'd have the Blue Jays in 2015 are an interesting test case for this because the Blue Jays that year around the All-Star break were right around 500. But they had a really good run differential. They had a run differential that showed they should have been like 5 or 6 games over. And that eventually it was going to correct themselves. So like the Seattle Mariners, for example. You know, the Seattle Mariners and the Washington Nationals had the same run differential. Plus 22, plus 21. Mm. Yet Seattle's got like 26 one-run victories. And they're 55-32. The statistical anomaly that is the Seattle Mariners is going to come back down to earth, and Washington should go better. So if I'm the Nats, I am 1,000% going all in.
What are you doing, Roy?
They have to go all in. Still, they have to continue to fight for it because they've made the mistake. The Nationals specifically have made the mistake in the past when they didn't go all in the year that they had a chance, and it bit them. They wouldn't pitch Steven Strasburg in the postseason coming off of Tommy John, and they haven't been that close since. They just added Kelvin Herrera a few weeks ago when they traded for him super early, by the way. And as we all remarked, it was like, wow, this is really early to get a deal done. They already made a move for him. You got Adam Eaton coming off the DL recently. You still think 7 is within striking distance, especially when you're chasing a team that has no history or no veteran leadership to get there. But, man, the fact that we're bringing it up speaks to how disappointing the national season has been so far.
What about his season changing his price on the open market next year? Where y'all at with that?
I think it does. It does. It is changing it. It has changed it, although he's going to point to, and rightfully so, you know, his .218 batting average, he's still hitting a lot of home runs. He's amongst the league leaders in home runs. He still leads the National League in walks, so his eye at the plate is there. And his batting average on balls in play, you know, that's the number that they usually use to say whether you're having good or bad luck.
Yeah.
He's having terrible luck. It's .225, which is way below, almost 100 points below what his career average is.
He's a .278 career hitter, so you have to say that this is a fluke, an aberration. His WAR this year, 0.5.
Oh, man, that's not good at all.
0.5.
That's not good at all.
And last year was 4.7.
Just wanted to mention this funny story as well. I don't know if you guys saw former Ranger Carlos Gomez taking his frustration out on a cooler yesterday. Wow. Took about 5 hacks. And looked like he caused a tidal wave there in Tampa as they were playing the Marlins. Thought that was a fun little story. Again, Rangers taking on the Tigers, 4-game set tonight. Matthew Boyd for the Tigers, 3-1 with a .261 earned run average at Comerica for the Tigers. Giovanni Gallardo on the other side.
In the heat of the moment, he said he was talking about his outburst. Greatest non-apology ever. If I get fined, I have enough money to pay for it.
Mm.
Oh, it's
nice. I miss Carlos, man. He was fun here.
Carlos Gomez.
That's Roy's. Thank you. Baseball nugget.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.